Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a very good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to join me this morning on At Home with Victoria. We've got a very, very special guest who's going to be joining us this morning. I'm going to get right to it because I do believe he is already on the line. Many of you right here in the state of Maryland know exactly who he is. Why? Because he was your governor at one time. Bob Ehrlich is going to be dropping by with us. Hi, Mr. Ehrlich, are you there with us?
Victoria, how are you?
I am very good. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
It's my pleasure. It's good to talk to you.
Well, listen, it must have been a couple of weeks ago that I got in touch with Andy, and Andy is Mr. Ehrlich's press secretary. And I started putting the information out there that I was going to be interviewing you, and I cannot tell you the amount of emails that I got, but the biggest one that I got that everyone seemed to be asking the same question, why are you running again?
Well, Maryland's broken, and I think that we can fix it. And you know, when you look at record unemployment and record budget deficits and record loss of business reputation and sort of what's happening on the fiscal side of the state, particularly the spending practices, the tax increases, and all that. It's just not it's not what people want, and that's been very clear to me over the past 8 to 9 months. I've been contacted. As you know, we have a radio show, and I speak regularly around the state, and people have been very aggressive in coming up and asking me to consider running. A lot of politicians obviously always look for that. I was in a different spot in my life. We have been very busy in the private sector, building a law firm, running the radio show, speaking engagements. I coached my son's football team. I wrote a book. So we were fairly well set. I wouldn't say satisfied, but we were pretty well set that maybe my political career was over.
Sure.
But the volume of people, the intensity, the emotion that people brought to me over the past, as I said, 9 months, led me to take a very serious look at running again. And when we looked at it, we looked at the polling, we looked at sort of where we were in life, the state of Maryland, the state of the state of Maryland, we said, let's go for it.
Now, did that surprise you that you got such an outpouring of folks throughout the state that said, hey, we really want you to do this again?
Well, yeah, it did, Victoria. It did. I was not necessarily looking for it. As I said, we were pretty busy in life. We have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old besides everything else.
Right.
And obviously, life's been good to us out of office. I've been building a law firm and quite busy with that. It's the Maryland office really of a southeastern law firm, Womble Carlisle, very successful firm. So as I said, life has taken us in different direction here since the public life with the kids at their age, with what I wanted to do in the way of radio. Kendall's on a bank board. It's a busy life.
Yeah,
but.
It certainly sounds like, and now piggybacking off of that, and like I said, one thing that's different about my show is that I take more of my questions from fans of my show and folks who just listen to the show, and I just think it's appropriate to ask you right now. There was a young lady who emailed me from Western Maryland, from Oakland, western part of the state, and she said, what did your wife and your family think about the decision when you decided to make it?
Well, it's a great question because we are family first. We are running our campaign along these lines. Drew's and Josh's Little League schedule is first, then the campaign. Now that's the truth, and I think a lot of people running for public office will tell you that. The campaign's very busy. It consumes you. It's everywhere you go, every day. So our priority in life, obviously, is the campaign. However, the kids always have to come first, and so we do literally do the campaign schedule around Josh's games and Drew's games because, at their age, particularly, first of all, we want to be there, but they expect us at those games,
sure.
And so we are in Little League and football and baseball and basketball and all that, and that's really the answer to the question. It's the family. was very excited. Kendall, as you know, has been very aggressive about wanting me to do this. That's
mm-hmm.
no secret. She shouted from the rooftops on our radio show.
mm-hmm.
And
right.
and the kids, you know, Drew's 10 now, and Drew's old enough to really know what's going on. Drew remembers living in Government House. Drew remembers
mm-hmm.
the sort of life that we led then. Josh is 6, still getting his brain around this. But Drew really does remember growing up in Government House. And so Drew said, you know, he really liked to do this, and he's interested as a 10-year-old in helping on the campaign and all that stuff. So it's fun. You have to do it together. You have to do it as a family. You have to be happy as a candidate. You
mm-hmm.
have to be happy as a governor, for that matter. And happiness means your spouse has to be on board, your kids have to be part
sure.
of it.
Sure, everyone has to be on board. Continuing with the list of questions that I have, I thought that this was a good question and certainly one that I would ask myself as a journalist. This was a young lady from Columbia, Maryland, and she has a small business, and she wants to know what your thoughts are, the state regarding small businesses, and basically I guess she says that she is among many who feel dissatisfied when it comes to government and small businesses, and what are your plans?
I would say that the one, if not the, driving force behind our advice, our input from the public was small business people, their frustrations, their angst at the anti-business environment in the state of Maryland. We have been running small business roundtables around the state for many months. These small business roundtables were part of my decision-making process as well. So what happens, and I had two yesterday, by the way, in Montgomery County. I have these roundtables, small business people come in, the press is there, and the small business people just let loose. They let me know what's going on. I can tell you that the feedback has been principally in two areas: frustration with high taxes, frustration with overregulation and lack of cooperation regulators. By the way, the second one being as aggressive as the first in the feedback we've been receiving, and along the lines of small business people have been coming to me with frustrations about the unemployment trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
About the fact that employers always seem to lose the hearings, even when they fire bad employees, the regulator that may have been very reasonable when I was governor now wants to be their sheriff rather than their partner. I hear this a lot, by the way, that my regulator, the person who's in charge of my business, overseeing my business from a particular state agency, that person doesn't want me to grow. That person doesn't want me to expand my job base or hire more people. They want to punish me.
Right,
they're looking at me as a source of revenue, not job creation. These are clearly the main areas of focus from small business. It's jobs is not a 4-year, every 4-year, I should say, mantra. It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking every day. And the small business people today in Maryland principally are telling me we are tired of the anti-business mentality in the state of Maryland.
Okay. Now, also, and I just want to let our listeners know that this wasn't planned, that I just happened to have Mr. Ehrlich on the show, and we booked this a while back. But, you know, there were elections in different states yesterday. And what are your thoughts on that? Because it seemed like, you know, just across the board in general, that there was a mixed message yesterday where, you know, you had, for example, Alan Spector, who was basically kicked out of office. You know, you had a couple of Republicans who gained seats. You had some Democrats who also gained seats. But and then what I think was interesting out of all of that was that there was a gentleman with the Tea Party who actually gained a seat. So what are your thoughts on that sort of whole thing that the voters are kind of going through right now?
I think it's less a partisan perspective people need to take about it, and more of a little bit of an anti-incumbent mood out there,
mm-hmm.
regardless of party. You saw a Senator Bennett, Republican, not renominated in Utah. You see, now Arlen Specter, you see a frustration, a sense of frustration from the voters, and it's directed to both parties. The Tea Party movement's getting a lot of attention. There are a lot of disaffected Democrats in that movement, as you know, a lot of independents.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, there's a lot of disaffected Republicans in that. It's not as though,
yeah.
I keep pointing this out to people. This is not 1994. 1994 was a real major Republican tide year that swept me into Congress, a lot of folks into Congress. It was sort of a Republican thing that year. This is not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. This is more of an organic movement. A lot of small business people are frustrated. Again, you're from your previous question. They're showing up. People are showing up at these rallies who have never been active participants in politics before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're angry and they're frustrated. There's a lot of middle class anxiety out there.
Yeah,
when you have a lot of middle class anxiety, you have incumbents lose, and that's precisely what's happening in America today.
Now, continue on with our questionings. Before I do the next question, I do want to let we also have folks, Mr. Ehrlich, inside our chat room that's joining us this morning. So for those of you that are joining us, Bob Ehrlich is with us this morning, and we're just talking a little bit about politics and what his plans are. He's running for governor again for the state of Maryland, so he's very nice enough to drop by and spend some time with us this morning. So the next question, and this is a question that came from a young lady in Pocomoke, and she wanted to know, how do you determine projects for the state, and how do you determine what comes first?
Does she mean schools or bond bills? Or
I think she meant I think she just meant projects in general, whether it's school, health care, businesses.
Oh, as far as initiatives, I probably okay. Well, as far as initiatives, it's you know really from your basic political philosophy. It's geez, this is broken in the state of Maryland. For example, when I was governor, we put a lot of attention into and passed the Chesapeake Bay Restoration Act because
mm-hmm.
the sewage treatment plants in around the bay, about 60 of them, were broken. They're not where they should be as far as state of the art. They didn't have the dollars, so we passed that act to fix them because obviously the bay's a primary initiative of any governor. That there's going to be growth in the watershed, more people are going to move into the Chesapeake Bay watershed, so you really have to use technology. So those projects would be priority items, for example. School building, school construction, in particular counties, where you have growth counties, designated growth areas, more density, more kids, more young families with kids moving into. You're going to prioritize those areas as far as school construction, for example. Roads, transportation projects, you're going to look at development patterns, what makes sense. We are building today, finally, the ICC, for example. That road was on the books for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
You had inappropriate development and sort of bad environmental practices accompanying the fact that road had not been built for so many decades. So that was a priority transportation item. Jack Johnson, Prince George's County, came to me early on as governor and said, look, Prince George's County has been shortchanged with transportation, some of these projects. Would you help us? And we did. Certain bypasses in Hughesville Bypass, and a bypass in certain exit ramps, I should say, off of 495 became priority because of traffic patterns. So you just take a look at the evidence, you take a look at the population patterns, you take a look at the dollars. Dollars are always scarce. You have to prioritize these items. And you make decisions accordingly. Obviously, sometimes you'll have entire delegations come to you from counties or regions and say,
mm-hmm.
geez, this bypass, this project, this infrastructure deal, this school, this road really needs to be built. You take a And so you talk to your state agencies, state highways,
yeah.
or the Department of the Environment or Natural Resources, and you say, you know, how important is this project? So it's probably the answer most people would expect. It's a combination of the dollars and the priorities and the needs.
Okay, sounds good. And this young lady from Prince George's County, She touched on the issue of what you just talked about, the transportation. And she says that she lives in Prince George's County, and she says that she spends a lot of her time driving from Prince George's County on 95 on the other part between Maryland and D.C., I guess, Montgomery County. And she says that traffic is always a mess. And
She is right. She is correct. And
well,
the
why
ICC.
Don't you talk about that?
Well, obviously, the ICC is going to be her remedy, and
her
that's why
friend.
That's why we wanted to build it. That's exactly why her message is exactly why that road needed to be built years ago, decades ago. But that will no doubt relieve her daily commute.
Now, that in itself, you talked about how that was in the plans, you know, so long ago. Why did it take so long for, you know, for a project like that to happen?
Victoria, that's a great question. If I knew the answer to that, I would be president. I mean, or king, anyway. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I can't, there's no good answer to it. It's political negligence is the answer.
Is part of it the slowness of government, or just, you know, trying to get folks to sign off on things and different communities?
Well, yeah, I mean, on this particular road, though, it first appeared on a master plan in the 1950s.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
No way, that far back?
Yes, the people in the Washington suburbs, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, particularly Montgomery County, were promised this road by politicians for decades. I'm not kidding, decades.
Wow.
And as a result, you had inappropriate development patterns occur in the county, and it made it much more expensive to build the road than we did. But the fact of it is, somebody had to build it at some point because people were using these side roads, these county roads, as the ICC. As you know, running through that county, it's very dangerous not having the ICC up and running because you know, truck traffic and all that. We've had many accidents over the years, many deaths over the years as a result of you know, congestion and traffic patterns that developed across the county because the road hadn't been built.
Mm.
And so the answer to the question is political negligence and just... I remember a situation with Governor Glendening. First he supported the road, everybody got excited, then he opposed the road. Then he wanted to sell off the right-of-ways, so the road was never built. So in any event, I'm very happy that road is finally being completed.
Well, I assure you, the young lady from Prince George's County and all the folks down there, Montgomery County, that they are very, very, very happy about that, too. There was actually, I can't even say this is a question because, Mr. Ehrlich, as we speak, I get a lot of emails and reaction in from people, so I just wanted to let you know, when you touched on businesses, small businesses in the state of Maryland especially, it seemed like when you talked about that they are treated more as a enemy as they are friendly, I cannot tell you the amount of emails that I'm getting in about that. So I just wanted to let you know that certainly seemed to touch off a nerve this morning.
Well, Victoria, can I add something there?
Sure, absolutely.
People come to me and say, all right, what are your plans? And you have to be really frank with them. You try to be honest with them and say, look, this is heavy lifting. For example, lowering the corporate income tax, lowering the sales tax. That's heavy lifting in Annapolis. On the other hand, and we're going to obviously throw the bills in and we're going to try to do it. And I think particularly with the sales tax, we're going to be successful. But regardless, it's heavy lifting. On the regulatory end, and what you're hearing and what I hear every day at these roundtables and this feedback you're receiving right now, that's relatively easy to fix. That gets fixed to some extent day one. That gets fixed when you have a governor who's pro-business, you have a governor who wants to create a more pro-business environment in the state of Maryland. I will appoint a secretary and secretaries throughout my cabinet. Many will come from the private sector. They'll get it. They're business people. They, in turn, will have regulators, people that work for them, who will go out into the community and, again, be partners with small business. You know, small business people don't want to violate the law. They want to grow their business. They want to hire people. They want to, you know, they want to live the American dream. And they don't understand why government views them in such a hostile way. So this is, again, a direct result of a governor's election. Governors appoint people who have direct impact on the ability of small business to grow jobs. And that's why you're getting this feedback right now.
Yeah, I think out of everything that we've talked about so far, and believe it or not, we only have like 5 minutes left for the interview. When you spoke about that, I definitely received between 30 to 35 emails instantly about that.
I'm not
that.
Surprised.
Yeah.
I am
yeah,
not surprised, Victoria. It's my daily life, and it's interesting. And again, you can offer real hope to people in this sense because. For instance, when I was governor, our business development agency, Undersecretary Melissa Rodas, he had five deputies assigned to different sectors of the state, and they were basically expediters. When a small business person was running into problems with a bureaucracy or a regulator or a regulation or didn't know how this particular program worked, there was a number to call. There was a person to go to. And people want consistency. They want a bottom line so they can plan. And they want consistency from government. And, you know, that's something I think that can be delivered responsibly and reasonably.
Yeah, that's certainly, certainly I would imagine, certainly would be true. And, again, we only have a couple more minutes, but there, I think that this is a general question that folks want to know. They want to know, can they go to your website and
BobRoelich.com.
Schedule in terms of where you are in the state if they want to come out to different meetings and ask questions and that sort of thing?
The answer is yes. There's a public schedule at BobRoelich.com.
Okay. And I actually, guys, if you're listening, I do have his website on my information, and we keep it up there indefinitely. So if you didn't get that or you don't have a pen or something and you're still not awake this morning, you can certainly go to my website and take a look at that. Mr. Ehrlich, it has been a pleasure. The time went by very fast, and I want to thank
really,
you so
Victoria.
Much for taking the time to join me this morning.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure, and thanks for doing this. This is terrific, and the feedback is really important for me as a candidate as well, so I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you come back and visit anytime.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. And again, for those of you that are joining us, that was Bob Ehrlich. He was the governor of Maryland before, and he made the decision, as he talked about, and talked to his family and his kids about running again. He talked a little bit about transportation, education, and also how he wants to really help small businesses, and that it be a wholesome environment as opposed to an adversarial environment throughout the state. So we want to, again, thank him so much for taking the time to come on the show and join us this morning. But more importantly, I want to thank all of you for sending in your questions and your emails. And, of course, we weren't able to get to all 75 of them because I did have a lot of them, but I tried to pick out the most that I thought was the sort of theme that was running through your questions and things that you've been sending me over the past couple of weeks. But again, I want to thank all of you so much for joining us this morning. We've got a couple of other shows that are coming up. In fact, on Wednesday, we're talking small business. This is a gentleman out of the state of Nevada, Las Vegas, and he is the type of person who basically tries to help small businesses. So if you're thinking about starting a business, then you don't want to miss that show because I think he's going to have some really good information. Douglas Burnett is his name. Also, if you're a fan of Alice in Wonderland, my very good friend Kathy Silverstein through Facebook sent me this wonderful author who wrote a book called The Real Alice in Wonderland, and she kind of dissects the whole book, and she wrote a book about it, so I'm looking forward to seeing what she has to say. So if Alice in Wonderland is your thing, then you don't want to miss that show as well. Now, in June, at Home with Victoria, we're kicking off a two-month series just basically focusing on women and issues facing women. So we're going to do a little bit of everything. We're going to do shows on health and wellness, fitness, fashion, beauty, and also just some of the top issues as regarding women who are single mothers, you know, the challenges and things that they go through in raising kids and trying to participate in all different types of activities, but yet work every single day. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, Jewel Green is going to be joining me on a regular basis once a month. You guys know Jewel. She is the wife of former Redskin Hall of Famer Darryl Green, And Jewel is just a wonderful, wonderful person. So she's going to be joining me once a month to talk about girly stuff, whether it's fashion and makeup or, you know, what the latest trends are inside the industry, because Jewel is also CEO and founder of Posh Couture. And that's a company where she basically does all the research, finds all the clothing for you, and just kind of brings it to you and have you look at it. So I'm looking forward to working with Jewel on that. But, again, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this morning. I hope you have a very good day, and we'll talk to you soon.